It's Channel 2 over on Wednesday morning, the 12th of November, 69, at breakfast. Wednesday morning, the 12th of November, 69, at breakfast. Channel 2 over. Channel 2 over. Channel 2 over.
Sound bad. That's good.
I know.
Celebrated breakfast. After a night out.
All it was a little bit of experience matching. I think it was something you were talking about, the lowest form of conversation yesterday.
Who did the matching?
I did.
Wait a minute, I
can't, Sonny. It's still got the tea in it.
Well, you're sunk. You might as well go ahead and do white shirts, because we can't go out till you do.
Poor old Mr. Staley. Used to be, though I'm a little bit better about it now. I could go out and be working on the horses at the dailies, and I couldn't even get close to a horse without getting dirty. All a horse would have to do would be sort of shake himself, and that was it. And Mrs. Daly would come out there in white tennis outfit, or she'd be on her way to some social engagement and come out there in a light-colored dress during the summer. And she couldn't bear to watch anybody just doing something. She'd come and help. And I'd be brushing a horse, and she'd grab a brush and do it three times faster than I was doing it. And when she'd get through, she'd walk away from the horse and be just as clean and not a speck of dirt on her. She used to chide me because I got dirty.
Well, now that's what I find people do. They work the horses, clean the horses, and then in the same clothes come in and eat breakfast. So you get a good bit of horse in the horse at breakfast.
I guess what I thought about the Chinese was their shoes. They take their shoes off. They have their inside shoes. Do you suppose we ought to have a inside jacket, Barbara?
Well, according to my little way of thinking, no. You see, I'm in sort of revolt anyway, so it's all right.
Grandmother
do. She was so, she's just, everything had to be so clean.
Yeah.
And she put up with my mother and me, because she already figured she couldn't change us, but if she'd had her way, we would have changed for dinner. I mean, really changed for dinner. And she didn't mind things being messy. She just insisted they be clean. Especially when you came into her kitchen.
Oh.
And me, I don't worry. It's a good thing I don't, considering some of the places I've been. Not here. It doesn't look like that, but.
That's the way we feel about it, Bob.
The club room in Mrs. Parker, but. And dorm life.
remember Mom's way of keeping the kitchen, cleaning stoves.
So, a little bit about it.
Imagine.
The Petersons are the sort that scare me stiff.
My Barbara?
Well, I say I don't know them. I'd love to know them.
Yeah, I would too.
They're missionary, all right.
Yeah.
And they're the sort of missionary that just freezes me right there.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I they're the same sort that I met at Yanalasi. These people who run these children's camps and go back for 20 years, every summer for 20 years, you know.
Yeah.
And they, I don't know how long they've been going up to Vermont. But she's a doctor. And they were she was a medical missionary in South Africa, and he taught boys handcrafts. And he seems fairly relaxed. But she's just stiff as a board. She's one of these people who sits stiffly and talks stiffly and gives you the impression that, and that I find frightening, that they're sort of, I don't know, prying and sitting in judgment at the same time. And she would sit back in the back of the car, and she would ask Lois about just about everybody in Micanopy that had moved and where they were living now.
In McIntosh?
Or in McIntosh, yeah.
Yeah.
And she went. She must have gone through every change of house in that little community by
yeah.
the time we got there and back.
I ought to have been there, wouldn't I? I'm the one.
Yeah.
Who should have been there.
Yeah. And of course, you got the Lois. We fill in all everything.
Yeah.
And they go through the history of such and such, all the families that had been in such and such a house, and who it originally belonged to, and where they were now. And this would go on, and she'd say, well, if the Dodds moved from that house, where are they living now? And the host would have to tell her. Well, where are the people that lived in that house moved to? The host would tell her. Until finally she'd work it out till there was one family that would have had to have moved all the way clear out of Micanopy. And oh, they went to Miami, or they went to Georgia, or they went so-and-so. And then she'd start asking me, you know, sort of where I was going, what I had been doing. But there's a sort of feeling about it that, I don't know whether it's just the manner or the bad experiences I've had before or something, but that manner frightens me. And I suppose it's the feeling I get that I'm being they don't want to know out of curiosity, that they're forming an opinion. That they aren't really listening, you know. They're forming an opinion, something different. And she was pleasant enough, but I couldn't stand to be around her long. It was just me personally. She started chatting to a little girl up in the bleachers when we were at the performance. And this little girl had been, her father was in the army, and she had lived in Thailand, and she had lived in South Africa, where this woman had worked as a missionary. And she chatted gaily along and was, you know, one of these sweet little things who gets on well with that sort of person. And she chatted and had no reservations at all about it. And they got on quite well, but I can't do that.
Did the horses come up?
Yeah, I came up. Lois had told her that I was writing and teaching writing, and she said, "Oh well, we go to a camp every summer in Vermont where writing is quite important." And then she asked me something about had I ever taught at a summer camp, and I said yes. And I wasn't going to elaborate because my impressions of a summer camp would not be tally with hers at all. Because just what she represents in a summer camp is what I detest.
So what summer camp did you teach at?
I taught at Young Lossie in North Carolina.
Yeah.
And the people there were from Atlanta. And there was the same mixture of missionaries and the usual permanent staff of a camp is made up of retired missionaries and teachers and coaches and retired doctors and so forth. At least this is my experience with this sort of camp. And some of them are great to get along with and really understand young people and get along not only with the children but with the counselors, because all the counselors are between 18 and 25. But quite frequently what happened in our case was though the directors got on well with the children, they had no touch, were not in touch at all with the people who were counseling. And attitude, I think, was most unfortunate at the camp I worked at was a counselor had no freedom. And the children were supposed to be free, but they had no freedom either. They were supposed to be able to be free to choose, and yet they had to choose what they wanted to do. And yet at the same time, everything was lined out, and they didn't really have all that much choice. And they couldn't get away from the counselors. We weren't allowed to let those children get away from us. And Jeet would talk about how Camp Young Lossie was supposed to be so wonderful because the children could do what they wanted and wander off and be alone as they wanted. But if she found that one was not in the group and was going off by herself too much, then the counselor got jumped. And of course I hated that, because I could remember as a child not wanting to be in the group and hating my counselor who came in and gave me a talk about it. Mm-hmm. Just resenting her for everything she was, you know, I was worth. And I know that I felt, you know, if they want to go off and be by themselves, let them.
Good for them.
I don't want to get in their way. I've got 5 hours a day of teaching. I don't want to be bothered with chasing children that don't want to be chased. But, this sort of thing is, when we got to the university, Mrs. Peterson got out of the car, and Mr. Peterson got the seatbelt stuck and couldn't get out. We just sat there standing around and wait till we could get his seatbelt unstuck. And then we decided, we parked over by the auditorium and walked to the gym. And it's probably just as well, we probably wouldn't have found a parking place at the gym. But she decided, oh, well, it's at the gym, we'll go. And she went charging off, and I kept up with her, and Lois and Mr. Peterson were far gone in the distance by the time and she just kept right on going, looked straight ahead, you know, didn't stop, didn't ask, they'll catch up. When we got into the auditorium, just automatically directed traffic. that's a sure sign of a camp person. You know, somebody that's had teachers. I've been in a camp. I couldn't help it, but I just thought that way. Automatically direct traffic. Automatically grab hold of somebody's sleeve and get them over where they belong. Not a word, just grab a sleeve and put them where they belong, and that settles it.
Miss Lois like that?
Oh no, Miss Lois not like that. Lois is put it exactly the different steps that she wouldn't ever command anybody to do anything. She'd just say, you know, well, let's do this, or don't we want to do that? And I think it would be a good idea. And she's so cheerful and happy about it, and sort of bubbly that nobody could resent her.
Is she bubbly?
I think so. I think that's a good way to describe her.
You like the music?
Well, I think so, but she didn't talk about it. Matter of fact, I didn't hear any of them say anything about it, not one word about the opera, except that Mr. Peters, we were sitting up on to one side and we could see behind the scenes, and he was fascinated with the what was going on behind the scenes. And the little maid sitting on one of the props backstage reading a paperback while the opera was going on the stage. And he just, I don't know how much he watched the opera and how much he watched what was going on in the kitchen. And I think Mrs. Peterson seemed right fascinated with that too. Mm-hmm. And they asked me if I liked it, you know, when I got out. So to make sure that, I don't know, it almost felt like it was make sure that I'd gotten the benefit out of going, you know.
Oh, true.
Yeah. Make sure it sunk in what I'd been to. But they never mentioned it, not one of them. Mentioned that opera except the scenes backstage, and Lois was so fascinated with the costuming, which was beautiful. The costuming was beautiful, that costuming. And didn't mention the music. They didn't even mention the disturbance in the last act. There was, you know, they served drinks in these hard plastic cup. And all during that last scene, whenever, see, there's a large student crowd,
mm-hmm.
and whenever she'd get to one of the really, her solos,
mm-hmm.
and they're so plaintive, somebody would knock a cup over. And the acoustics in that thing are so you get a sound of a cup falling louder than you get anything going on the stage. And it wasn't as if they got knocked over when the whole ensemble was singing, or when just the orchestra was playing. It was only doing her solos. And the poor little they had National Guard boys as ushers. And they go charging up the steps, trying to find out who was knocking these cups over. And I saw two of them going down the passage afterwards, just fuming. They couldn't see how people could do things like that. And that Peterson didn't notice, not a word. And Lois didn't notice.
That's unusual because, as a rule, the audience is almost as good as a New York audience. It may be that opera, as Suzanne says, it's just not appreciated. are. I don't know.
Well, I would think that, I would have thought that most people would have had enough, you know, that several people did leave.
Uh-huh.
And, I should have thought they would have had enough. They could have left easily between the third and fourth act.
Yeah.
There was no need to stay through the final death scene because they all knew what that would be like.
Yeah.
But the thing is, Lois and the Petersons just didn't, they probably noticed, they just didn't say anything about it.
Now, is that your only encounter with the missionaries at summer camp at one time?
Yes, pretty much, really.
Well, it...
pretty one-sided, isn't it?
Feminine impression, isn't it?
Yes.
How old were you then?
19 and 20.
Mm-hmm. Didn't seem to represent.
She's so like, the people who started Camp Yanomami, who were the same era, same time, and her idea of a camp, I'm sure, would be quite different from what Yanomami had turned into. I would never doubt that. The original Camp Yanomami was not the regimented thing that it was when I went there. It was, they didn't even have cabins or anything. They had tents, and they had half the hill was in blackberries, and the girls would go out and pick blackberries and come back, and they only had about 50. They'd come back and they would, they'd have to cook and do a lot of work around the place. And it wasn't like a summer camp is now. And it was much, in that sense, it was a lot freer. But, and I don't think they ever wanted to see Yanomami grow like it did.
You know, I'm just sorry to tell you, but I've got 500 pounds of fertilizer that's got to get out of. I'd say in the next hour be the best time.
All right.
What's that, boy?
Oh, this.
Hadn't you noticed that before?
Huh? Yep, I'm noticing it. I'm noticing it again. I'm noticing it again. Can I notice it again?
Excellent.
Now, I didn't see all that when I was here the other time.
Well,
look at all that in there. Isn't that attractive?
That's mine on fishing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't have any.
Everything but the suitcase. Over
yes,
there.
Sir. Uh-huh. Everything but the kitchen stove.
All right.
Well, about all we this do is get the news.
Yeah, I
just
got any cheese and peanut butter.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine.
That's just too bad for you.
Okay. Is that his favorite?
But even
uh-huh, uh-huh.
Does Miss Lord say the blessing?
I hope she would.
Uh-huh.
Would you say the blessing
all
over
right.
This?
Uh-huh. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this food, these friends, this fellowship. We thank you for all the other blessings also that we enjoy from thy bountiful hand day after day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now you have to work.
I'll
mm-hmm.
pass to you.
Make your own sandwich.
Yeah, uh-huh.
I'll pass to you, no fun. I hate to be so formal as all this.
Well, we had a good time last night, but those seats get kind of hard. No back. No back.
No seat, no cushion, no back.
No cushion, no back. Mm-hmm.
You can carry them
mm-hmm.
if you think
I will
it.
Next time. I didn't know.
Y'all go ahead.
I don't think I've been there for many things. I went to graduation time or two, and I went to the Messiah 1 year there. I think that's one time I've been there. But
okay.
I never had quite such a high seat before. But we were lucky, I guess, to get a seat at all at that late hour.
What time did you get there?
Well, but we got there about 8:50. We got there about 8 o'clock, didn't we? And I thought it was going to be at the auditorium. I parked up at the auditorium.
Oh,
is that what you did?
Sorry about that. Yeah.
And I didn't see any lights or much activity there, but I thought, well, the place may be air conditioned, everything closed up, you can't see the lights from the outside. And then when we got
to car, she has to make her sound.
Why,
yeah.
She told me, Barbara told us that it was down at the, let's see, what I,
what do you need? You need
here.
Well, I have a spoon over here.
That's for you.
Well, you need tea.
All right.
Barbara died.
Then I was afraid to move the car. We had gotten it parked. And I thought we just better stay here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I should stay.
So the Petersons are good walkers. I knew that.
Here's a sugar, Barbara. Yeah.
They are right active in every way, aren't they?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
And they love
okay.
to go.
What can?
Oh, they do.
Mm-hmm. And he's very active in the yard. He loves to work in the yard.
Where do they live from you, Lois?
They live up near the schoolhouse.
Oh.
And that clinic.
Yeah.
You know, the medical. They bought a little nicer place up there, but they've had more trouble with it. About it, washing and some plumbing trouble that seems they don't get very good.
You didn't call me.
Connection.
I tried to get him, and I didn't get any answers at all.
I'll try him again before you go.
Now they bought a place in Balsam, and it was a log cabin, old log cabin. And the man who lived there had been married 3 times, and each one of the wives had been a collector and a keeper of things. They said they never saw as many things. Although now then, the third wife has died, and so he's gone down to St. Petersburg to live, and sold the place and everything in it. And decided to hear her tell about what all they found in that house. They don't think they ever threw away anything. the three of them.
Three times.
Well,
ever
to that.
They
just
salad.
And the contest.
There's no letters anywhere out here, so that's Miss Lord's house.
They bought a house and the contents.
They're both very interesting people. I'm very fond of them. And we do a lot of things together.
What else they do, right? What else they do besides, they're not musical.
Well, they enjoy music. They never miss a musical.
Oh, don't they?
And they thought at one time of buying an organ. They thought that I think he would have been the one who would have played it. But he would like to have had it. I went with them to Gainesville and make a tour of music stores, see about the organs. And 2 music stores sent down. They had for a while there. They had 2 organs in the house. Both companies knew that each organ being sent down.
Yeah.
But she wasn't too keen on it. She wanted a patio. And they have just so much money to spend, either on the organ or the patio. The patio won out. And I tell you what else won out, too. He likes wood. He likes to work with wood. That was his business in India. He taught woodwork in the craft shop.
Mm-hmm.
They had pretty flooring. He liked it. But she won a ball of carpet. And he said, now I don't know who's going to win out. But I've been up there since, and there's ball of carpet.
Well, now, I don't know either one of them, Lois.
Yeah.
Is Miss Peterson pretty determined about a few things?
Mm-hmm. Well, Mrs. She's a doctor.
Yes. Well, so am I, but I'm not. I don't get my
way. I mean, she's a medical doctor.
Oh, I see.
And also a surgeon.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. She had charge of the hospital in India.
The doctors I know are high and mighty. They don't even ask what anybody else is. Yeah.
Well, I've heard her say that she had graduated from medical school. She got to be embarrassed about sending out invitations. She quit.
Oh. Well,
But she first started out as a home ec teacher. She had all that kind of degree. And then she decided that wasn't it. She wanted to study medicine, be a medical minister. Well, when you're going to be a medical minister, you have to go through a seminary, too, for some kind of religious training.
Uh-huh.
And then
yeah.
the medical training she had to have. Then she had to stop in England and learn the dialect of the country where she was going. Then go to school over there. No, she had to learn the Hebrew and then, no, the Hindu.
Hindu.
And then when she got there, she had to go to another school somewhere to learn the idioms of her particular province.
Yeah.
She like never gotten started.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Oh, I know a lot of interesting things about Elizabeth Peterson.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how she was over there a long time, wasn't she?
I guess about 25 years, maybe 20, 25 years.
Yeah, that's long enough.
She married over there.
Oh, did she?
Mm-hmm. And they have pictures of their wedding, movies.
Oh.
I love it. They show it on their anniversary.
Oh, really?
I've been invited to a few of their anniversary parties.
Were they treated like the sahibs?
Mm-hmm.
That's one nice thing about the missionaries, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They were actually treated in the right
mm-hmm.
princely way.
Mm-hmm. They
have. I've never known a missionary as like you know her. Now that's remarkable. You don't know just how remarkable you are.
Mm-hmm.
I'd consider that a great, great, country.
Mm-hmm. You didn't have to go to Africa.
No,
to
no.
You know her, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We've known her for a long time.
Yeah.
Mrs. W.L. Bryan, who lives in the big white house right opposite the drugstore, is her sister.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
No. Barbara, you have to keep Ms. Lois supplied with everything.
Now I have everything. The celery's awful good, and I don't mean to have a monopoly on it.
I have
you
some
have
for celery.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Almost ran over me with that little tractor.
When? The day?
Yes.
Mm.
Yes.
Make a put out the fertilizer from now on instead of driving the tractor.
Yes, sir.
Well, that's safer.
You let me do it by hand.
Make her tell you about it.
Yeah, tell
over
them
me
about.
In
mm-hmm.
that little tractor.
It usually stops when you put
the
clutch in.
He got in the way, did he?
What's that?
It usually stops when you put the clutch in.
Mm-hmm.
And I put the clutch in, and it didn't stop,
mm-hmm.
and I had to find the brake.
The, yeah. Which foot did you use for the clutch?
Hmm?
Right from the top.
Yeah.
Well, the brake won't work.
Oh, your place. I got a good view of the front when I came up this time.
Yeah.
Mhm. Didn't someone own it before you had a nursery out here?
Sure. Miss Boyle.
Mhm. Mhm.
Fine.
Mhm.
I found that swamp.
Mhm. I was wondering the other day about that about the balls and about if there were any ferns. She's interested in ferns. I said I don't know.
No.
Well,
Miss McFadden has a lot of beautiful ferns already.
No.
All right, thank you.
Yeah.
What?
But she wanted.
Uh-uh.
Well, now, you see, she was, for 2 years, she was out of commission.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Boyle.
Yes, he had a long illness, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
That's 2 years.
I came this way today. I passed by the old college place.
Mm-hmm.
There used to be a lot of interesting plants and bushes there.
Yes.
Yeah. She really had a green thumb, that Mrs.
Collins.
Mm-hmm. That was an awful nice house. It had the biggest rooms, just great big rooms and high ceilings.
Mm-hmm.
I just know the Collins real well.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. When the, the oldest girl was married in the Methodist church here, but we would meet at the house. It was a morning wedding,
uh-huh.
Kind of a noon wedding. We'd meet at the house for some reason, all of us, and then go to the church together. And so everybody was there but the preacher.
Uh-huh.
We waited, and the time came for the wedding, and no preacher.
it was the presiding elder who was going to perform the ceremony. And the bride and the bride's mother, everybody just began to get desperate
mm-hmm.
about the priest. They had no phone.
Oh.
So to find out what was the trouble. But just before everybody got in tears, why, here the man came, and just with his tongue hanging out in such a hurry. And he had the best explanation anybody could possibly have. His house had burned down that morning about 3 o'clock.
Well, I love
it. All his clothes.
Lois, you just know so much.
I can't believe it.
Yes, sir, but now that happened, and he had no way of phoning her to getting over it. Besides, he had other things to do. He had to get a suit of clothes. They come down. Well, now that happened to that girl. I think about it every time I think of her.
Well, I don't know whether you'd say it happened to the girl or it happened to the preacher.
Happened to the groom. Well, a lot of people involved. The older sister was very pretty, very attractive. And the next one was named Lucille, and she was very pretty too. And she got away from here. She got up in Chattanooga doing something. Next thing we knew, she was in Washington. Next thing we knew, she was with the State Department. And she told them one day, she said, how come everybody in the State Department gets a little broad but me? She said, I'd like to sign up for some overseas assignments.
Yeah.
So I sent her to Germany. Then I sent her to England.
Oh.
And then she was down in South America.
Good.
And she'd come home, and she'd sent home at the government's expense, I guess, all these gorgeous things. She had excellent taste. And now I visited in Washington.
Oh.
And she had one of those narrow brownstone houses out in Georgetown, no less.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. She, two or three girls lived with her. Mm-hmm. Although they had quite a interesting, happy life together.
Mm-hmm.
She did well.
She never married. Mm-hmm.
Oh, she never married?
No, she never married.
The second
sister never married.
Yeah.
The older sister married and had this experience about the
yeah.
preacher being
and,
late.
Yeah, and she lives in Tallahassee.
And she lives in Tallahassee. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's two of them who never married.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how'd that happen, by the way?
Well, I don't know. Claire goes to stay around here all the time. I don't know how much attention she ever had. But Lucille, I'm satisfied, has had a good little attention from men. It was attractive. She was out where she could meet men.
Sure.
You have lessons to say to me.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
But this place would have been a lot prettier if you'd gotten here when to see me and Barbara and Guy spread the
yeah,
out in front
mm-hmm.
of you. That would have really
mm-hmm.
added to it.
You're in time for that.
We
but,
thought of calling you and telling you that you
have
a help.
Mm-hmm. I came by Flora to see Alice at Tudor Church. She's got
oh,
the cutest
okay.
little children.
Uh-huh.
And they're down there nearly every Wednesday.
Oh, that's right.
Alice, I think, comes and gets meat. And then she spends the day there. Flora often tells me, she says, now stop by, because she knows how fond I am of that little Mark.
Uh-huh.
And it's so funny, I get so confused. A while ago, I was there, and he's crawling around the floor, and she said, get up on the floor, Mark. I thought she was talking to Mark. I thought she was talking to Big Mark. Get off the floor, Mark, she said.
Well, tell us more about Miss Peterson.
I was just going to say, tell us, because I'm going to have to go, and I want to hear.
I'll tell you something very interesting about her.
Because I hate to leave.
There are a lot of things, but I always think of this. She came back on a furlough one time. I guess maybe it was her first furlough. And by that time, she realized that she needed to be able to do a certain kind of eye operation that no one in India seemed to do. And they had a lot of that eye disease that required that kind of operation. So she stopped in New York City. She was on her way down to McIntosh. To spend that part of a furlough with her sister, Ms. Brown. And she stopped in New York, though, and went to see a big eye specialist there and explained the situation to him. Said, I would like to know how to do that operation. I needed in my hospital in India. And so he said that he would, sure. So he kept her there, and she went and watched him perform several operations, and she had two lectures with him. And finally, he said, now I'm going to let you do one under my operation. So she did. So when she came on down to visit Ms. Brown, and Ms. Brown, I've heard Ms. Brown tell this now. She said, every time Liz would sit down, she began to chant. And she said, it was the finest thread I ever saw in my life. And finally, she said, it got on my nerves day after day. And I asked her, I said, Liz, what in the world are you doing that for? Can't you sit and do nothing? Why do you have to always be doing that? If you're going to tap, why don't you tap with larger thread? You're doing such tiny, you're just going to put your eyes out. Using this fine thread. And Elizabeth said, I'm doing what the doctor told me to do. She said, the nerves, the little tissues that we have to handle when we do this operation is about the size of this thread. And he told me to tap, to keep my fingers, the touch, accustomed to that minute object, and keep my eye trained to be able to see something so minute. Now, I thought that was interesting.
It is.
Unusual and interesting.
Uh-huh.
Well, she'd be a right unusual person then, wouldn't she?
Mm-hmm.
How do you think I would get along with her? Just,
mm-hmm.
You know.
I think you like him too. They're both very unusual. And when she first started to the foreign field, she's going to have to stop in England first, learn something about the language. And I've always gotten a big kick out of this. She was in mid-ocean when she received this word through radar or some way that her mother was very ill down here in Kentucky, where they came from, in a hospital down there. They thought she had typhoid fever, and they thought she ought to know about it. And for her to come back if she possibly could, they thought she might not live long. And so they changed, they made it rain somehow, and she changed boats in mid-ocean.
Lord.
Mm-hmm. And came back.
Yeah.
And that mother got well and lived out the rest of her lifetime.
Yeah.
But Elizabeth came back and stayed, I don't know how long, and then she went on back again. But I just always thought, I'd just like to see her getting off one boat. She would let her down into the last boat and then into the other boat.
Well, now, when she goes to church up there, she sort of directs the traffic, doesn't she?
No, I know. I don't know. No, she doesn't. They attend the Presbyterian church.
They do.
Oh, do they?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you
and
don't know how she does it.
I know, and they don't. Well, occasionally we have the union services and at the same time, but they... they're not our church very often, and we have such continuous service in our church. I'm not our church very often.
Of course, no, any just ordinary stories.
I just enjoyed seeing this girl give up riding lessons the other day. I like that.
You haven't had a riding lesson.
No, but I saw her give one. To the little girl.
Good.
She knows about horses. I don't know too much about horses. And I forgot to bring that other article about Dr. Figger.
She knew it last night. She wouldn't stop and get it.
Oh, well. Well, Dr. Figger is still on my back porch, all folded up there.
Well, you give it to me and don't give it
all right, all right.
Trustworthy.
Began to say he didn't know whether Dr. Figger was going to be any good on the stud farm or not.
Yeah.
And so he's wondering if it wasn't, but they just had a lot of horse for nothing, you know.
Yeah.
But this last article is that Dr. Fagel carries on.
Yeah.
Dr. Fagel carries on.
Well, that's nice.
Mhm. We had such a pleasant time up here the other evening when she was down.
Well,
my sister came from Rochester. Yeah, from McIntosh, not very far, out on toward on the shallow road. Is a horse farm, and And we heard they had a horse out there worth $350,000.
Yeah. Should you go look at it?
I said, yes, I just want to see that much horse. And so we went out there, and they, he was out in the pasture, but they said, just stay around, he'll come down after a while. So he did come down in our line of vision, and he was a fine looking animal. Just a beautiful animal.
Was that at the
Fanning Road? There's another horse farm near town, out on the Irving Road. And they have signs up about this is welcome. And I had some friends come down from Jacksonville, this little girl in the family. And they said, she wants to see some horses. Well, I said, I can show you some horses. Not their fault. They didn't have too much time because they had to go back to Jacksonville. But I said, the horse farm, not very far from here. Won't take up too much time. And we'll go out there. And they said the sign says, this is welcome. And so we will just go. I never have taken them up on that, but that's what the sign says. So we'll go as visitors. Well, we went out there on that Sunday afternoon. And I thought it was good. They had this railing, you know, up around the, it was a fine looking fence, wire fence, this rail up the top. And it's just exactly eye level. That's it. And you couldn't see a thing unless you stood on tiptoes, or unless you got it on this way. Now the little girl 6 years old could see, but the rest of I said this was the tiresome thing I've ever done, except you know that finish last night for 4 hours. There was nothing to my back. But anyway, I said, this is welcome. The very idea, this is welcome. You can't see a thing out here. Sunshine. Stuff from it. But they were so impressive. They had all these signs up there saying who was in this
Mama,
in this stall.
If you just pass me Lord's plate, I will.
And who and giving his pedigree. Oh, it's very impressive. Mm-hmm. Ride along and read it. But I don't see those now. I think they've changed hands and they have different setup.
Tell me something else about Miss Peterson.
Oh. Yes. When she came back and had retired, while we were ready for the practice of medicine in Magdalen.
Yeah.
At that time, Dr. Strange was about on his last legs, you might say. And so we thought, that's fine. But you know, Florida won't accept her license.
Well, I'll accept them.
And she said, no, I'm not about to take the examinations.
Mm-hmm.
I think all examinations I ever intend to take. And so, but now she goes up to Kentucky. She substituted Berea College for a year while her friend, who was a doctor in residence there, had a year's leave of absence. And there's one up there. Kentucky accepted them. And then now she goes to Vermont. She's a resident doctor at that girls' campus there. Vermont will accept her license. But Florida won't.
I understand, Florida.
Like the local professionals.
Mm-hmm. But there's so many retired
Druggists in North Georgia who want to come to Florida sometime. And so he began paying his license down here. And as well as in Georgia, then when I do get to go down there, I won't have to take those examinations. Druggists, teach all professionals that have that trouble. And they do it to protect the local.
Yeah.
David, for Dr. Peterson, let her practice there because we need her.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She's right next door to the clinic. You know that clinic building? That they built is right next door to students are right next door to it. They first came there. I write for the paper. She's a doctor and he isn't. Well, I said, what am I going to do? How am I going to write that in the paper?
Mrs. Dr. Peterson.
Well, they were both there. Mr. and Dr. Peterson. And I said, that won't do. I said, I don't know how to word that. But I finally thought, well, I'll say that E.L. Peterson, they don't like Mr. much anymore in the newspapers. E.L. Peterson and wife, Dr. Elizabeth Peterson, have arrived to make their home in Magdalen. I thought, now they know more about it than I do down there in North Carolina. They can just change it.
Yeah.
But it came out like that.
Oh, that's the best they could do, too.
And so I guess that was acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
But now then, since she doesn't practice, When she goes in a way to speak at a church, I call her Dr. I report to Dr. Elizabeth Peterson. But they entertain, oh my goodness, what company they have. They know so many people, and they keep up with so many people.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. And, oh, they just come and go in there all the time. So but when they do that, I just, she's not perfecting her profession, I just say, Mr. and Mrs. Peterson. When I report them socially as a host and hostess, I just say, Mr. and Mrs. Peterson.
Why would they keep up with so many people now?
I don't know if they're just like that. Oh, the Christmas cards they write. And the mail they get all in between down in the years. And so many of the people who come see are women doctors.
And they go a lot, too.
Oh, they go a lot. Mm-hmm.
You mean out of, not just in McIntosh, but all over?
Yes, they have they have friends down in Mount Dora, and they have friends somewhere else down the street. And I said to one, I said, I wish you'd stay away from that Mount Dora. Don't let you go visit Mount Dora. We can't compete against Mount Dora. If you stay down there much, you're going to be sorry you bought McIntosh. But Mount Dora is a pretty place. Pretty lots all along the waterfront, pretty landscaping. Has much more natural beauty than that. Of course, her sister lives in McIntosh, so we're banking on Miss Brown.
Yeah. They do get around a lot because they go up to Vermont and they've got a place in Balsam.
In Balsam, mm-hmm. And they have come and gone from India. Why they go one way and come back another. They just, you can't name any place how they haven't been. They travel extensively.
That's when they did go to India.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now they don't still go over there.
No, they're okay. Mm-hmm.
If you could put up with us, you just do this often, will you?
All right.
We just
I
love
to.
You.
You come down and we eat on my back porch.
No, on our red tablecloth.
Mm-hmm.
Our telephone doesn't ring like yours.
It doesn't.
Why
doesn't it? Too much age anymore, does it? Mm-hmm. No, it looks so sturdy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And before, I thought it was about to fall down.
That's just one coat of paint?
Uh-huh. I like that Mary Carter fence. Now, that's by the Mary Carter fence and barn thing.
Yeah.
Mr. Eastman was above me to get to do it.
Yeah.
Because he wore a helmet and a package of nails on his belt.
Yeah.
And those boys wouldn't have done that. They wouldn't have known how. I first thought it'd be great fun with those boys there, but they didn't think so. So they never did come back. They never come back talk to me about it. So I'm glad now that Mr. Eastman did it. He did repair where he went along. Those boys wouldn't know how to do that. I don't think. I think he's had a wisdom tooth extracted, and you know sometimes people have a good deal of trouble with that. And I know he didn't work for about a week. I think on account of that tooth. But he's at work today.
Yeah, he said.
Because I saw his car at Miss Helpless, those cottages along there when I left town.
He said he had to see the dentist tomorrow.
He had that swollen jaw and fever in it. He had quite a time, I understand, about that too.
Yeah. I'll see you.
Anyway, thank you so much. Yeah.
I didn't do anything.
Thank
you.
That's such a good one. Look at all those pictures. I'm going to take a tour now. I'm on tour. I see a good-looking bed in there and chairs and dresses and lamps and things.
You are too.
Mm-hmm. I'm a slow eater.
Yeah. McIntosh.
I thought maybe you had met them.
I met them.
You have met them.
But I don't know anything about them.
But you find them both very interesting.
Does he talk much?
Well, yes. Mm-hmm.
Or does she do all the talking?
No, he talks. If she's not around. I got so tickled last night.
What is that?
I thought about that thing this morning. I woke up laughing about it. They're crazy about seatbelts.
Yeah.
I don't care anything about seatbelts. I'm depending on this wheel to protect me, keep me from falling out. I never use a seatbelt.
Yeah.
Now, when I fly, and that sign says, pay your seatbelt, I do that.
Yeah.
But now, riding my car, I don't. But they're crazy about seatbelts. She came down one time and got me, before I had seatbelts in my car, she came down and got me for me to go with her up to the ice house where the solar meet. Now, she'd been all the way around the world, and why she'd been timid about going in the ice house for the first time, I don't know. But anyway, I was glad to go with her, but I couldn't see the point exactly. She came down and got me to go with her. It's the first time up to the ice house to get the meat. And so we got in, and she began to fasten her seatbelt. She told me to fasten my seatbelt. Just going back 2 or 3 blocks, you know. But I fastened her seatbelt. So then I took them somewhere in my car when I got this car. It had a seatbelt. And he sat in the front seat with me for some reason. Maybe she and Ms. Brown, maybe the three women in the back. Anyway, he sat in the front seat with me. And this side of your seatbelt retracts. You know. Well, I don't know what it did to it that night, but it hasn't retracted. Yeah, it hasn't retracted since. It just lies there. But, you know, it's supposed to kind of go like you corner your back and sleep on.
Yeah.
But this doesn't do it. Not since that night when Mr. Peterson fastened it. Doesn't worry me because I don't sit there anyway. I don't sit on that side of my car anyway, so it doesn't bother me. But I recall that, and I know that's when it happened. But last night then, he got on the back seat, you know. She was on the front seat, me and they got on the back seat. Well, they began fastening their seat belts. He parked the car. He couldn't get his unfastened. I thought he missed the car. I thought he was going to miss the opera. He was strapped to the car. I know that's one way to get a man, isn't it? I've got him. Oh, he's strapped in the car. I was tickled. And they want me to unfasten. I don't know anything about my seatbelt. Fasten it or unfasten
it. It's your
seatbelt.
They want to get under it.
It's my seatbelt. I don't know how to. She said to Sue, she said, Lord, you unfasten it. I thought, I hate for them to discover that how little I know about you. How little I know about seatbelt. My stock will go way down. But I opened the door and I didn't know what the world was doing. He tried to step out. I thought he's not going to see that opera either. But I happened to touch something in the right way and it opened.
Oh, did you?
But that thing took me to being so fun. I thought about this morning. I thought, what would have happened if I hadn't been able to. He's too big a man to slip out from under it.
Is he a big man?
No, but he's too big to
slip
out from under it. He's too big to do that.
Yeah.
Thank God I might have gotten out from under it, but he's out in front. He's more out in front.
Maybe that seatbelt was made for him.
I must study my seatbelt. So I can hear people in and out. Oh, I know what you think they're silly and funny, but I think funny. And silly too.
Well, you know, Lois, I think a person ought to use them, but I just can't. I just never fasten mine.
Uh-huh.
No. Mm. But I know I ought to.
Mm.
You don't think you ought to?
I guess I don't, because I don't do it. I tell you, when I ride my sister in her car up in New York State, I have to. She believes in them, the first thing, one thing. And then I believe it's obligatory. I believe it's a law in New York State.
Yeah.
So she rides her car, and I strapped the thing. And she wants something in the back seat, and I can't get it for this belt.
Yeah.
And you can't cross your leg, you can't change position because you're strapped to the thing.
Right.
They bore some. They bore me.
You can't reach.
I can't reach. She's all the time on something on the back seat. I can't reach it. For the seat belt.
Right.
Well, I said, if I knew what kind of accident I was going to have, that'd be, I wouldn't mind being strapped to the car. But if the car's going to be on fire and the gas engine slows something, I won't be able to get out of there.
Yeah. What?
Take a chance.
Yeah. But he used on the way back?
Yes, I guess he did. He got out all right. He got, well, didn't have no more trouble.
Maybe he did it wrong.
Mm-hmm. Well, wow. I was glad I didn't get the, see the funny part and get the giggles at the time, but I thought about it this morning and got a lot of fun out of it. Just now, but I hope my car wasn't in her way. I said, it's too late to say this now, but I hope my car wasn't in Faye's way.
Oh, no.
Did you putting out the, are you through putting out the fertilizer?
Uh-huh.
No, but not snoring.
Missed
it.
Well,
it was
good. That's what I call it.
It was about an hour's work.
Mm-hmm. First place, did you?
Not this morning.
you know, they, the Marion County schools were in session and yesterday, and I think the Lasper County,
oh, yeah.
But the Duval County did not have school yesterday.
Oh, really?
It was just afternoon. From Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Ms. Broussard lives across the street from me over there. And two of her granddaughters, little granddaughters are down. And they come over to see me every time they come down from Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, they said, you busy? I said, no, not right now. I said, I have a pupil from the school bus comes in. Oh, they're not having school today. Well, I said, now you may be right. I don't know if you're not in school. I said, no one has said anything about it, but it is a holiday. It may be they won't come. But they did.
Mm-hmm.
But now those children were down spending the day with their grandmother because Duval County wasn't having school. I've been thinking about it being set up county-wise.
Cool.
Usually, got a ride, went a ride. Over the lower part of my lot that borders on the main street.
Mm-hmm.
Looks mighty pretty down there.
Oh, it does.
But the last 2 years, it's right after I scattered it. You know, you just broadcast it. We had an awful dry spell. And it didn't. And I just couldn't water that much area.
Yeah.
I'm not set up for water.
Yeah.
And so, some of it came up, some of it didn't, kind of spotted, but I'm very pretty. So this year, I haven't done it, and I don't think I will this year.
Oh, you'd be sorry.
The town looks pretty now. Have you noticed how pretty the town looks now?
Mm-mm.
The town has new moor. And it it cuts close. And the town is in good shape now. I wrote my sister this morning. I said, everything looks mighty nice in town. If anybody has an eye to somebody see me, I wish they'd do it now. I would not have to be apologetic about the streets of my place either.
Yeah. All from the
They had had
a little moor.
Oh, a large moor. I think a tractor pulled it.
Mm-hmm.
And they couldn't get too close. They couldn't get in close corners.
Mm-hmm.
So they dispose of that and have a man walks behind it. It's a great big wall like this, and he walks behind it. it must take longer to do it that way, but it's starting to get better results. And I said to somebody, I was so